Welcome to another episode of the Remix My Fitness podcast, where we learn that there is more than one way to train, eat, and live. And as always, I'm your host, MC Kim, aka The Kind Intelligent Man. Thanks for tuning in to another episode, and if I may I share a kind of a big win with everyone here today? So, I got wind in my email on Monday that the Remix My Fitness podcast has reached the top 30 spot in the fitness category on iTunes in Canada. And, wait for it here, and for the very first time we are ranked in the United States iTunes rankings, and we come in at number 209. So that means out of thousands of podcasts out there, we've reached top 30s in Canada and cracked the iTunes charts for the very first time in the United States. So thank you. Thank you very much for making this happen, because without you, I would have no rankings. I would have no show. So thanks very much to all the listeners, to all the subscribers, to all the supporters out there, to every single guest that has come on to the show and has made each episode very special. Thank you so much. And again, shout out to the ones that are listening in your car, on the plane, or if you're waiting for that train and you're looking for something to do and something to listen to, I thank you. I really, really do. I appreciate every single listen. Now, if you want to continue to support the show and your guy, MC Kim, the best thing that you could do is share this episode with your friends, with your families, with your colleagues, leave it on for your dogs and your cats. By the way, that is a real thing, podcasts for your pets. And, of course, rate the show, give it a 5-star rating, give it whatever rating you like, to be honest with you. If you like it, give it. And leave a comment or a question, too, because every single one helps out, okay? So let's move on and let's get on with the rest of the show today. I have another banger of an episode for you, and today's show was inspired by my clients that I train with both online and in person, because oftentimes while we are training or in the middle of consulting, I'll get a question from them asking me like, why don't we do this exercise, or why are we doing it this way? And I have to say, like, I really love these questions because it lets me know that my clients are thinking and being proactive and just genuinely being curious about their own workouts. And it's good to have this like banter between one another, and it lets me know that they're being engaged. And to be quite frank with you, it keeps me on my toes, right? So rather than just kind of aimlessly just telling them what to do, and I mean, sometimes that's kind of good too, but you know, like I love just that back and forth. So in today's episode, I'm going to be talking about 5 exercises that you should never do and suggest a few different things that you can do instead. Now, I've picked these 5 because they come up the most often and I see them done in the gym, and I can't help be worried about some people who do it. And, you know, I get a little cringy when I see them done, and especially when I see them done incorrectly. Now, I will say that these thoughts are reflected on my own past and personal and professional experience. Other coaches and trainers, of course, they may say otherwise. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that a lot of other trainers and coaches will agree with most of the ones that I have on my list. But before I do, it's time for a new segment that I introduced last week called Set Things Straight with MC Kim. This is where I take a few minutes and get something off my chest that have been bothering me, or, you know, that kind of gets on my nerves a little bit, and I get to kind of be somebody else for a minute. So, shout out to longtime listener Davis Kim, who sent me a note about how much he loved this new segment. Thanks for your feedback, and I hope you're ready for another one. So, without further ado, let's set things straight with MC Kim. So, one of the things that bothers me when I consult people, particularly the male population, and this goes for the young and old, they'll say something like this. Yeah, I want to work out and I want to get into shape and I want to build some muscle and get strong, but I don't want to look like those guys in the magazine. You don't want to look like those guys in the magazines. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Of course you do. Maybe you don't want to put in the hard work like they do, but you definitely want to look like those guys in the magazines, which is why you bring it up. And this one gets me a lot because it's just the audacity to think, okay, well, you know what? I'm going to start working out, but I'm not going to work out too hard, just in case I look like one of those guys in the Men Fitness model covers. Drives me a little kooky because, like, it takes a lifetime of work and a daily every minute, single grind kind of dedication to look that way, especially for a photo shoot. And to shrug it aside and just kind of say, well, you know, I want to look better, but I don't want to look like that guy in the magazine cover with that crazy six pack, that bulletproof back, those chiseled chests. Nah, that ain't for me. And for me, I've always taken it as an excuse from these people. So in case that they've failed, in case that they don't achieve those goals and tell people that that's what they're going for, instead they're telling people, well, I'm going to work out, but you know, I don't want to look like those people in the magazine. So if you're one of the fellas or the ladies out there and you're telling yourself that you want to work out, but you don't want to look like those cover models or those inside the magazine models, that's the wrong mentality to have. You should be using them as inspiration, as motivation. Maybe you really don't want that body, but if you want any part of your body to change, it's going to take the same hard work and the dedication inside and outside the gym. Whew. I gotta say, I feel a little bit better. I feel like a whole weight's been off my chest. Man, I gotta say, this is pretty therapeutic for me. And, you know, I don't mean to like offend people or anything like that, but you know, I just want you to know what goes through, I think, majority of us coaches' minds when we hear something like that. Well, that's another segment of Set Things Straight with MC Kim. If I got it wrong, if that's not the way I should interpret it, I would love to know. And if you have a topic or something that grinds your gears in the fitness and health industry, hit me up on Insta, hit me up on Facebook at Remix My Fitness, or you know, I love that personal touch. I love getting those emails from everybody at mckim@remixmyfitness.com. So moving on to today's topic, like I mentioned, I want to talk about the top five exercises that you should not do, period. And why that is? Why? Because it's either a waste of time or there's a higher injury rate, but I have suggestions for each and every one of them. So you ready? You ready to not do these next five exercises? I hope so. So number one out of all of them, this is probably going to be the most controversial one on the list, which is do not do heavy shoulder presses. That's right. That exercise that you see every man and woman do, that exercise that every workout template always has a set of. Very popular exercise. But I would like to emphasize that I'm not saying don't do shoulder presses. What I'm saying is don't do heavy shoulder presses, because the risk of injury is just huge. And I'm not big into doing many shoulder exercises in general. But if I do shoulder exercises like a shoulder press, I'll stick to the range between 12 to 15 reps. So a little bit of a lighter range. I'm never trying to get into the power portion, or I'm never trying to get into like the bulk portion of any kind of shoulder exercise. You know, and what I consider like a heavy load would be trying to hit rep ranges between 4 to 8. 4 to 8 doing shoulder presses, it makes my shoulders hurt just thinking about it. It's just not worth the risk to reward, which is going to be a very common theme in today's show. You know, we use our shoulders for almost every single type of exercise. And it's such a small muscle compared to, let's say, our chest, our back, and of course, our legs. And we need our shoulders whenever we do a chest exercise, whenever we do a back exercise, our shoulders are being implemented in there. And of course, and even in some leg exercises, we're going to need our shoulders. When we're holding weights for lunges, we're going to need our shoulders. When we're having a bar behind our back to do a squat, we're going to need our shoulders to help keep it stable. When you do deadlifts, when you throw a ball, in my case, when I do like a lot of jiu-jitsu, I take my shoulder health very seriously. And one of the main things that I can do to keep my shoulder healthy is to not load my shoulder a lot. There are so many other things that you can do to make your shoulders stronger, to build muscle in your shoulders. One of my favorite ones is the incline chest press. So whether you can do that with the free weights or whether you're going to do that with the bar is just going to give you a little bit more oomph in the chest and the shoulders. But that one I would choose over a heavy shoulder press. And this one you can load a lot, and you can work your chest and your shoulders at the same time. We can also do a bent over row, which is going to work your back and it's going to work the back of your shoulders as well. But if you absolutely just like, you say like, look, MC Kim, I really need to do a shoulder workout because I just want to feel my shoulders and I want to get a good burn in my shoulders, then if you're going to do anything, I much prefer the lighter Arnold press, which is like a shoulder press, but now the weights will you'll turn your hands, you turn your wrists, and the weights will then become in front of your face, just under your chin, and then you'll do a little crescent, and then you'll press it over your head like you would a shoulder press. And I would do that again in a lighter way. I wouldn't pick up anything crazy heavy. I like this because we get to hit all three heads of your shoulders, where shoulders are made up of three different muscles, and the rotation and then the press portion of it, just really, really, you get the best bang for your buck out of it. And, you know, 12 to 15 reps, three sets of those, I think it does more justice than trying to do like a heavy shoulder press. There is no reason to build that kind of size in your shoulders. Again, risk and the reward. Number two is a double. You get what I did there? Number two, two exercises. I gotta stop making these kinds of jokes. Is the abductor and the adductor machines. And maybe you don't recognize the names of the machines, but these are the ones where you sit down on the machine and there's like little pads that you'll put in between your thighs, and then you'll either squeeze the pads, or the other one, the reverse one, will be that you'll need to open your legs. So the ones where you close your legs and you try to squeeze the pads together, or the other ones where the pads are on the outside of your knees and you try to push the pads open. I have to say that this is the biggest waste of space that any gym can have. And yet they are probably one of the most common machines that you'll see at any gym. And I think this is because they're very popular to use. A lot of people like using them, but I think it's because people have the wrong idea of what muscles are actually being used in these types of machines. So the abductor and adductors, they're like little tiny muscles that are found, you know, the best way I could describe it would be like around our groin area, right? And they're meant to help primarily with like lateral movement. So like a lot of basketball players will be doing a lot of adductor and abductor type movements to help strengthen those areas. And they're very small. They're very small muscles that, I mean, no matter how much you squeeze your legs or you open your legs with the weights, like it's not something that you can see. And I think a lot of people think it's primarily like a glute exercise, or it is some sort of leg exercise. And it's definitely not made for that. If you want to work out your glutes and you want to work out your legs, then the good old squat is going to do 100 times better. I'll put down 1,000 times better if those are the muscles that you're trying to work. If you're trying to strengthen your butt, gain some size in your butt, if you're trying to do the same thing for your legs, doing a squat is going to be way better. But if you are the few that are trying to actually work your abductors, then a very simple one that you can work is just laying on your side and doing a leg raise, a side leg raise where your leg is going up or your leg is going down. The best way I could describe it without actually showing you like a video of it would be if you know those like late like 60s or 70s or 80s videos of those people, you know, working on the leotards and headbands, and they're lying on their side and they're going up and down with their leg. Like that would be like a leg raise that you'd be working your abductors with. And if you want to work your adductors, you know, then putting something in between your knees while you're lying on your back and your feet are off the floor, and putting like a soccer ball or putting a basketball on your knees and squeezing your knees together and letting the tension go a little bit, that would be almost the same thing. Probably even better for you, I think, personally. And that would be a great way to work your adductors. So abductors and adductors, please don't be one of those people that are in the gym, you know, on that machine and like just, you know, making those like sounds when really, and thinking that you're working out your glutes or your legs. You're not, okay? You are not. Look at the little picture in the little corner of what you're supposed to be working out. That will give you an idea of the muscles you're working out. You're not working out your glutes, okay? Number three is the lat pull down, where you pull the bar behind your head. So the bar will reach like the top of your neck. Okay? So this one is a funny one because when I was a kid and I was looking in all the bodybuilding magazines and all the big lifting magazines, all the big lifters, all the big bodybuilders, all the pictures were of them pulling down this big lat bar behind their neck and just looking like real fierce and like, look how hard I'm working on my back. And I actually remember the shift and the change that happened from being able to pull this behind our necks to then all of a sudden the momentum shifting to, no, we need to pull this in front of us to the top of our chest. And I think, you know, I don't want to date myself, but I've done it already on the podcast many times, which is, it was about 15, 17 years ago, around that time when this started happening. And all of a sudden, it was like a big no-no. Don't pull the bar behind the back of your neck. Okay, that's dangerous. And, you know, it makes a lot of sense. If done incorrectly, which is most of the major general population, you can hurt your neck real easy. You know, just like pulling that thing down, especially the position of your neck. Most people who will pull this down will probably look down while they're doing this, or push their head forward a little bit, and that puts a lot of strain on the neck, especially as you get heavier and heavier in the lat pull down. And also, the lat pull down is supposed to mimic one move. It's supposed to mimic the pull up. So the lat pull is, we'll say, like an easier version, or it can be a harder version, depending how much weight you put on there, to be able to do as many pull-ups, right? And I don't know how many people do pull-ups where they actually will pull their whole body into the air and then have the bar reach the back of their neck, right? When I do a pull-up, and when I train my clients to do a pull-up, we do pull-ups where we try to get our chin over the bar, right? So I would never ask one of my clients to try to do a pull-up and then get the bar to touch the back of the neck. That just looks wrong. So it makes sense that we've made this change, but I still see it being done today. I still see a lot of people pulling the bar behind the back of their neck. And look, don't worry, there's an easy fix for this if you've been doing it for a little while. Look, I'm not saying that it's wrong to do, and that's not saying it's wrong to put it behind the back of your neck. It's just there's a much easier way to do it. There's a much safer way to do it, which is just to pull the bar in front of your chest. So that would be the replacement exercise. Or you can go and do some pull-ups. Some pull-ups, almost a guaranteed way, if you can do a couple, to do a proper lat pull, right? It's an easy way to get a really good back workout in. It's just, I say easy, but I think anybody who's attempted to try to do a couple pull-ups, you know it's hard. But a great, I think, an even better move than a lat pull-down, personally. Number four, which is doing push-ups with chains around your back or hanging off your neck. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen this one. This one's a popular one to do, to put up on social or to put on up on YouTube. And out of all the ones on the list, this one makes me cringe the most. The risk and the reward for this one is so not worth it. It is not worth it. It looks so cool. For sure it does. When you have these massive thick chains, you know, they're making that clanging sound, and whenever you go up and down, and like just the chains like will fold in and then like straighten up as you're doing them. But I've seen enough people tear their, and I've also seen from my coach friends, they've also torn their chest doing it. And of course on YouTube, an endless supply of people tearing their chest doing the same move, doing this one move. And do you want to know something that happens when you tear your chest? What happens is you have one less chest muscle in your body forever. Your chest muscle doesn't grow back. And I know this firsthand. I don't know if I've ever shared this before, because I have a torn chest. I have a torn pectoral muscle. I tore my chest not from a weighted push-up, but about 11 years ago in my first jiu-jitsu tournament. Of course, it's jiu-jitsu, right? Where else would I get hurt? in the very first tournament that I was in, my very first match, I was thrown. I fell kind of funny. The person landed on me funny, and I heard like I heard something tear. I thought it was my gi that I was wearing. Like it literally hurt. It went like, and I thought it was my pants had ripped. And I remember like reaching down to my like crotch area, thinking like, oh man, it's gonna be so embarrassing that my pants ripped. I didn't feel anything, and as my opponent was turning his body, my arm was caught underneath, and again you hear something go, and it must have been so loud because in the middle of the match he was like, "Hey, did you hear that?" Like he whispered this in my ear as he was like on top of me, and I was like, "Yeah, don't worry, I think it's just my pants. I just don't know where. I don't know where I ripped it." I'll never forget that day, and I think one of my good buddies has it on film somewhere, hopefully never to resurface online. The very first question that I ended up asking my doctor was, how long would it take for my chest to grow back? And he just looked at me and said, "Son, muscle doesn't regenerate or grow back. So your guy, MC Kim, has only had half a right chest for the last 11 or 12 years or so. It looks like a half crescent moon shape, and I always get funny questions about it." One more quick thing about my chest, which was the funniest one that I got was when I was on the beach one day a few years ago, and I took off my shirt, and somebody, a random person, asked me, "Hey, what happened to your chest? Did a shark bite you?" And I just kind of left it at that. You know, what else could I have said? I just said, Yeah, a shark bit my chest, and then I survived, you know? So, anyways, back to the push-ups with chains. The reason why the chains are so dangerous is because they weigh down that particular area in your body. You know, your shoulders, your triceps, you know, they just can't handle that strain. They can't handle that pressure. It's unlike doing like a chest press. And in the industry, it is widely known as a chest ripper exercise, okay? So, please, don't do this move. I know it looks cool to do, and like maybe other people will be cheering you on. Do not feel pressured by this. Trust me on it. Trust me. And what's really great about it is that there is a million different types of chest exercises that you can do that are so much better than this one, like doing a bench press, like doing a push-up. But if you're looking to make that push-up extra hard, then you can get on a set of Olympic rings and place them, you know, set them up so they're hovering off the floor, or you can get a set of free weights and put them on the floor, and you can put your hands on the rings, or you can put hands on the weights, and you can do a push-up. You can do what's called a negative push-up, where your chest will now go below that regular level, whereas if you did a regular push-up, then the floor would stop you from getting any lower, okay? But if you do these negative push-ups, it will be for certain that you'll get a little pump, extra pump in your chest, okay? Because you're going to get a deeper range of motion, and these push-ups will definitely get the muscles and the blood pumping. And number five for the final exercise, of course, I got to throw in a kettlebell exercise, because you guys know I'm the kettlebell guy. And there are a lot of no-nos. There are a lot of different ones that you shouldn't be doing with a kettlebell. But this is the one that I will tell my clients, I will never teach them how to do it. It's an easy one to do. They can figure it out themselves. And it's called the high swing, or often referred to as the American swing. And that's when you're swinging the kettlebell. Instead of swinging the bell up to your chin or up to your nose, you take this bell and it goes all the way above your head. So your arms are straight up in the air, and the bottom of the bell is pointing to the ceiling. Again, the theme of these five would be the risk and the reward. There is no extra muscle worth using or worth working on to have this round iron weight directly above your head for any periods of seconds. The mechanics, the technique is exactly the same as a regular swing. Almost nothing changes other than you got to build a little extra momentum to get all the way up there over your head, and maybe a little bit extra shoulder work. But if you were looking to make your swings harder, a better one to do would be a double kettlebell swing where you have two kettlebells in each one of your hands. Be careful of your lower back. Or a single arm kettlebell bottoms up. And that one's a good one because it mixes in the swing and a press kind of all in one. And you get to use a little kettlebell and you get to use a kettlebell for it. Okay? So the American swing looks cool, but definitely not cool. Okay? Don't do it. Risk and reward, please. So that's my top five exercises that you should never do and never practice. Did I miss one? Do you not agree with me? Do you want my opinion on a particular exercise? If so, hit me up. Don't be shy. I'm on only the cool platforms like Facebook, like Instagram. Those are the only ones I can handle anyway. Well, like, why do more of these keep popping up? There's no way I can keep up with all these platforms. So I'm just going to stick with these two. But of course, you can reach me at RemixMyFitness. And of course, the old school way, which I think is the best way. Hit me up at mckim at remixmyfitness.com. So that's it. That is another episode in the books. I hope you enjoyed the show. Please share with your friends. Smash that subscribe button. And I will chat with y'all next week. So until then, set some goals, challenge yourself, and don't forget to have fun. Peace.